AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. John Riley of TheEffect.net is with me now. John, you and I spoke earlier in the summer and we were talking about our favourite phones of the year so far. And we both said we were waiting with bated breath to see what Google would do in terms of the Pixel 10. Obviously, the 10th iteration. There was a fancy launch in New York. They showcased a whole host of devices, not only phones, but headphones and watches and all the rest. You've been playing through or playing with some of them. I've read through your reviews on TheEffect.net. But I want to talk to you now about the highs and lows of what we got from Google. And we'll start with the Pixel 10 Pro XL.
Yeah, basically the flagship of the lineup. You know, as you said, it's the 10 years. And, you know, we've loved these devices for many years now with their usability, their camera skills. And, you know, Google are really leading the charge on the AI front. We know that every phone has it now. Gemini is pretty much everywhere that the phone, everywhere can be on the phone. So, yeah, I've had multiple weeks playing with the Pixel 10 Pro XL, the largest, most powerful version of their Pixel lineup, with the Tensor G5. It's, you know, it's a fantastic device. There's no two ways about it. It is that bit more iterative of an update from the Pixel 9 Pro XL, so it's not going to rewrite the rule book or even the design book, because they've thankfully, in my eyes, kept the same design.
And I love the design
pattern. Yeah, it's very iconic for Pixel, and they've just refined it that bit more. I love I think it's Moonstone is the color I was reviewing. It's like that kind of
the way they name things. Say it's kind of black or it's kind of blue.
It's kind of gray. It's kind of blue. Yeah, Moonstone. It's called Moonstone. But it's again knockout camera specs. The Tensor G5 is their latest processor, so you're making sure that AI is running as seamlessly as possible. Gemini tasks are running on device. If it's called Translate, if it's kind of your AI studio capabilities to create images from scratch, all those different AI options are there, understandably. And then the triple rear camera on the back, low light, ultra wide, they're all been refined as much as we can imagine, and they're taking some fantastic shots.
Yeah, I have played around with it. Now, the thing that I would say about the Pro XL, and someone asked a question a few weeks ago about an iPhone Pro Max, and I still can't get my head around the fact that I went around using an iPhone 15 Pro Max for the longest period of time. Because when the 10 XL, the Pro XL of the Google lineup arrived on my desk, it felt huge in my hands. Now, again, I have the hands of a 5-year-old. So, but for me, it was just slightly too big. But I was blown away by the camera. I've seen a lot of people kind of splitting hairs over the Google chip versus the Snapdragon. Yeah. And, you know, oh, Nintendo. I couldn't find. I was trying to catch the phone out.
Yeah.
I was using it in the way I use all of my phones, which is, you know, heavy duty, jumping from app to app, trying to edit videos and upload them in a matter of seconds and all the rest. I didn't notice any big drag. And I would bet my bottom dollar that nobody outside of super nerds and tech journalists would even cop that there's any big difference.
Yeah, look, benchmark numbers are benchmark numbers. In every given day, vast majority of users aren't going to notice an issue. Like, there's 16 gigabytes of RAM running in the background here. That's a serious amount of power.
Yeah.
And I think any issues that I might have had were with an app, not the software itself. So if I had a hang up, I think it was the app just had an issue. And okay, I think I found that. And then when I moved back to other devices, the app was still doing the same thing. So that cancelled out the Pixel being an issue for me. I think one thing that is people may not know immediately and may understand is a big thing for Android to get is the what they're calling Pixel Snap, is the magnetic attachments and charging abilities.
MagSafe, yeah.
Basically, it's their version of app. Everyone knows Apple MagSafe. They brought out a couple of years ago. It was a kind of revolutionary for people's usability of phones and how they snap them to chargers, snap on their wallets, their battery bars, whatever it is. Google are the first kind of leading Android manufacturer. I know HMD have a device that had it a couple of months ago or maybe a year ago, but these guys have come all in from the Pixel 10 all the way up through each of their devices. They have had what is called Pixel Snap. So you can use any of your MagSafe devices on these new Pixel phones. So they are pushing hard to get that Apple audience over and to kind of get them onto the Pixel ecosystem just to show what they're missing out on, basically.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice touch. And I think the fact that they are compatible with the Apple devices is huge, not only from a usability point of view, but also from an environmental point of view. Yeah. We were going through our attic the other day and the amount of cables I have. Now, thankfully, things have changed and everything is kind of bit by bit moving across to the USB-C or to these MagSafe type chargers. But I found boxes of, do you remember the old Fitbit chargers, the way they'd all have to lie into a different size cradle and whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Drives me wild. So I think this is a great thing.
Yeah.
In terms of the battery, you've got a 5,200 milliamp battery inside this phone. It's a beast, right?
Yeah, it's one of the biggest ever in a Pixel, basically. It's super, super strong, long-lasting. You've got 45-watt wireless wired charging, should I say. Again, we know that Chinese manufacturers are up on 80, 90, 100, just obnoxious speeds. But this is pretty solid for most people. Again, plug it in the morning if you're in the shower, you're going to get a bit of a boost, and you've got your wireless charging functionality too. Look, it's coming in at €1,329 and €1,329. It is not cheap. It is our flagship
top of the range kind of thing. Yeah,
non-foldable phone, basically. It's got the bells and whistles, the best cameras and the best kind of specs under the hood. So Google are coming in strong with this, and I would have been surprised if I wasn't impressed, and I really was impressed.
Okay, is there any element of it, like, were you hoping for more? Because I'm getting the sense from you that you're not, like, as into this one as you were with the 9.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted a bit more, the cameras. Again, I'm a camera nerd. I want the sensors to be increased. I want the dynamic range to go up. I want the optical zoom to go up. I want another camera to be added on, to be honest. I just want more cameras, the better. So, yeah, I that's just one thing I wish they kind of put a bit more time and refinement into, to just more kind of finesse or more power, basically, as well.
And especially at that price point. So yeah. I think that is fair enough. The one that I've been using, and I mentioned it on the Pat Kenny show last week, is the Google Pixel 10 Pro Fold. This is the first time I've managed to stick with a foldable phone for more than a week, because sometimes I just get annoyed by them. And I have to say, I really genuinely like it. Before I give you my final take on it, because I've been using it now for 2 and a bit weeks, what were your thoughts on it? And give us a brief rundown on some of the spec.
Yeah, so I was using the 9 Pro Fold for quite a bit last year, actually, because it was the one I kind of stuck with for more than most other foldables, and I was in love with it. I always wanted to have a foldable phone because I just thought I'd use the inner screen all the time and just being able to show off photos and whatever else I was taking on a large display that's in your pocket. So this, again, like the Pixel 10 Pro XL, it's more of a refinement from last year's model.
Yeah.
So you've got a kind of a more slightly better layout functionally on the front, so a thinner bezel. They've gone gearless in the hinge, so this is one of the first ever foldables. It is the first ever foldable to have IP68 resistance, so that's a big deal
for
water resistance and even dust resistance. So Google really did try hard with their engineers to get that over the line, to make sure that they were offering that sturdiness, or that rigid, or again, that protective aspect. You've got 16 gigs of RAM and 256 gigabytes of storage, just like the 10 Pro XL. So those are good numbers to make sure you get the best experience of Android 16. You're going to get 7 years of updates as well. The G5 chip is in there. Triple camera setup. Now, again, this is where most foldables, unfortunately, fall down. Given their physical dimensions, they can only put in so many lenses into their camera systems, so it's that bit of a step down, for want of a better term, compared to what's inside the Pixel 10 Pro XL models. So you're taking a tiny hit. Again, most people, I'm the nerd that notices.
I genuinely didn't. Yeah. And again, I was doing side by side reviews of all of the new Google phones. So I had the one that we spoke about a second ago, so the Pro XL, I had the Fold, and I had the basic 10. And I was taking pictures kind of with the lamp on in my living room.
Yeah.
And the three phones. And I genuinely was trying to find dramatic differences between them. And I genuinely couldn't. And I think if you are a photographer, or if you're someone who, you know, deeply understands how all of these things work, I don't.
Yeah.
I'll be the first one to say I'm not that person at all. I like nice images. I love when I take, you know, just out of the pocket, point and shoot, and it does the job. I genuinely, hand on heart, could not see any massive reduction, to the point where I went and reread the press release to make sure that I had it right, that there was a dramatic difference between the cameras.
Yeah, I guess that just goes to the strength of Google's kind of AI software power.
Yeah.
With their cameras have always led the charge and refinement. Every time you take a photo, it does its magic in the background and it pushes you the best possible image from that device with some kind of refinement and AI touch or kind of remedying done in the background. So yeah, I totally appreciate that majority of people won't.
Yeah, I've been using it for the last wee while. I really, really like the phone. I like the design of the front of it. I like that they've kept the kind of rounded edges on the front screen, but with the neat little bezel. I like the hingeless hinge or whatever it is. I have to say though, I'm not using the middle screen as much as I thought I would.
Just, it's like lack of habit, or you need to form a habit, because it is a new kind of form factor.
It is. And like when I first moved over, I was like, oh God, this is great. And I was watching stuff because I watch a lot of YouTube on my phone and I was doing it. I read the newspapers on a Sunday morning with it folded out, and I thought it was a really nice experience. But in terms of day to day, I don't know if it's because of the setup, because when you have the phone unfolded, you've got half a QWERTY keyboard on the right side, half the QWERTY keyboard on the left side. And so you're trying to stretch your hands, and again, my tiny hands, across half a QWERTY keyboard. And it just doesn't feel as natural for me to type on that screen.
Yeah.
Now, again, I know that it's more for consuming content maybe than interacting with it, but I haven't unfolded it as much as I thought I would.
Yeah, that's a good point about just the interactability, that in terms of using a keyboard, it's always a bit awkward on any sort of tablet shaped device.
Yeah,
that I would kind of almost automatically close it against, just because you're much quicker. It's like the muscle memory of using your thumbs.
I can do it with my eyes closed,
very, very quickly. I think with the Pixel 10 Pro, like I said, it's with the folding model. We've seen Samsung come out with the Z Fold 7. We've seen Honor Magic V5. Those devices are so thin.
Yeah.
So Google, I think, need to really up their game come this time next year, that we can get the thickness levels down, because she's a chunky monkey. So people will be like, ooh, the weight of that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the finish and the build quality is fantastic.
It's just a gorgeous phone. And I have to say, even when it is closed over and it's kind of like two phones on top of each other, it doesn't, I've read some reviewers saying that it feels very, heavy or whatever. For me, it's completely fine. I still shove it in my back pocket. The one thing I don't like.
Oh.
One. I don't like the fingerprint scanner being on the side of the phone.
Yeah.
It really annoys me. So on the other models, you've got the
built
into the screen. And I've been using this phone for over 2 weeks, and almost every day it takes me ages to remember that it's there. And then, I don't know, it's muscle memory.
Yeah.
It's a first world problem. It's a me being an Egypt problem. But there you go. That's my key thought.
No, it's a good point, because some people might be like, oh crap, they wouldn't know, because it is, for one, it's not a step back, but it's a step sideways, because people are so used to it being built into the screen, Face ID. And I know the device has a Face ID unlock system as well. But again, if you're used to just tapping the screen like second nature, you kind of have to get used to make sure you touch the power button.
You know, the thing for me is if we're sitting at home watching TV and I just want to check who's WhatsApp me or whatever, it was just so handy before to tap the screen
and then unlock,
and then do it.
Yeah.
Whereas again,
you're doing a bit of gymnastics.
Yeah.
Who are poor us? Does anyone think of us? No.
It's really tough being tech reviewers, you guys. I know you've been using the Pixel Watch 4, but unfortunately we are up against the clock. So we will talk about that next time. We will also, as I said, get some gaming gift guide bits and pieces together. So if you have any questions for John, you can email techtalk@newstalk.com. You can also read all of his reviews and the latest tech news on theeffect.net. But for the moment, John, thanks so much.
Cheers, Jess.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.